There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Lordy Lou, man. I am just full of it today, man. You are. Last week we talked about the hat man, the black hatted man, and I received probably over 100 emails of people who've seen the black hat man.
Now, is he the cousin or the brother of the guy in the yellow hat who owns Curious George?
Curious George.
What a time.
I am going to commit suicide.
No!
It's interesting because there's so many people emailed us, right? And at first, I was like, black hat man. That's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then you read like 15 of these emails at night. Like last night I was going through emails and I was like, oh no. Like about to go to sleep. Like, oh, please don't come and get me, black hat man. That's my first thought.
I can't even walk by a hipster pork. What are they called? Pork hats?
Pork pie hats.
Can't even walk by one of those stores without getting the trembles.
Very scary.
Very scary. What up, everybody? Welcome to Side Stories. I'm Ben, hanging out with Henry as always.
Every day.
Every day, nonstop. Hope everyone is doing well out there. We got a lot of stories for you this week. You know what I'm going to say? 2020, wrap it up with one word. Shenanigans. So many shenanigans. It's insane.
There is fucking shenanigans everywhere. Shenanigans. Deadly shenanigans. Mm-hmm. Inside your home shenanigans.
Mm. Now I'm thinking of the sports bar I was hanging out at in Florida called Shenanigans. A great time. And go support Shenanigans if you're ever around the Fort Lauderdale area. Right near the porthole. All right.
But that was also the bit bar from Super Troopers.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that was very interesting. I want to read a couple of these black hat man stories
okay.
that I want you to read. I want you to hear these because some of these, I mean, like they're all a little bit, I picked a couple that were a little bit more unique, but I wanted to read them up top. So just so you remember.
Am I going
to
get scared here?
I hope so.
Okay.
But I did a little bit more research. Just wanted to talk a little bit about it up top. So the black hatted man is it's something like a thought form between a thought form and a ghost, kind of like a black-eyed kid. And
okay.
Black-eyed kids are not just kids who don't listen. They're also kids that come into your home. They got actually fully black eyes, even though whites are black.
Like Puffin.
Right? Like Puffin. Yes. Yeah. They're like little doll's eyes, but it's the side of a child. If a child had Puffin's eyes, it would be terrifying.
Oh, yes, it would be.
There's somewhere between like actual boogeymen / cryptid / like some kind of paranormal phenomena that is very big on Coast to Coast AM. You can look at it. I also watched a documentary called The Tall Hat Man.
Okay.
It's on Amazon. And it is spooky, but that was one where it had a like quote unquote psychologist that was like, the black hat man is real and he can hurt you in your dreams. And I was like, this is not helping the messaging here. Helping anybody calm down during coronavirus.
You and I both watched a movie that was kind of similar. I highly recommend it. And I'm going to speak for you as well, Henry. The House in Between. It is really, really cool. But there is someone like that as well. There's a psychic who shows up who is just so on point. Such a perfect psychic.
There is a presence in this house. Meanwhile, it's like, I think it takes place in New Jersey. I forget where the house in between takes place.
No, it's in the South. Louisiana or something.
It's really fun, but I do love it. But I love it's an actual representation of what ghost hunters look like. They don't look like Zach Baggins.
No, they don't. He's a dreamboat. He is the 10 out of 10. He's an 11 out of 10. Like it's a dog site and they refuse to rate any dog less than a 10. He's an 11 out of 10. He could get it. There's one moment in the house in between where the psychic or whatever reveals that she had a picture. She's like, I sit down the night before, every night before I go into a home and I visualize it. And she had a picture of a cane sitting next to a door. And you know for a fact she has about 1,000 pictures in this book. And she just, I mean, we're not that unique of creatures. So she points to a cane in the house and a door. And she's like, look at this. There's a cane and a door.
I saw it in my dreams. Yeah, no, it's a little put together, but the house in between is fun because they shot that house for 10 years.
Yes. I don't want to blow it for you.
There's a larger man in this documentary that is heartbreaking and also inspiring, but he's the real body of the ghost hunter. It is not Zach Baggins. So let me read some of these stories. Now, I want to say over 100 black hat
seriously
man stories. So I'm just going to read a couple real quick up top just because, I mean, it's ooky spooky.
Awesome.
And I don't like it.
Great.
But I think you'll like it. The hat man appeared to me at least 3 times. Like the other listener, I would wake up from a dead sleep and stare at a shadowy corner of my room. And as my vision focused, a figure would emerge. It was tall, wearing a trench coat, and his face obscured by this hat.
Oh my God, it's Eric Klebold.
I would lay motionless and stare at it for long stretches of time, partly because I was transfixed, but also to verify that it was in fact seeing what I was seeing until I eventually fall asleep. Now, what people say again, it is like a 3D shadow. It often happens during sleep paralysis. They say it quite often happens to people that are already highly interested in the paranormal and the occult. So it kind of, your brain's kind of working off something.
Well, that kind of goes against what I always say, where if you want it too much, you ain't gonna get it. They know you're desperate. But I guess that's not the case here.
But it's also sleep issues have quite a bit to do with it. The last time the figure appeared to me, instead of its usual shadowy corner, it was standing in the middle of the room, much closer to my bed. I was able to see its face. It was deathly white, with loose hanging folds of skin and deep sunken eyes. At its feet was a second figure, laying face down and hovering a few inches off the ground. The second figure turned its head to look at me. Its face had the same pallid white folds and sunken eyes as the first, except its mouth was open in an unnaturally wide O.
Ooh.
That image is seared in my memory. So that was one. That was fucking creepy as hell.
That's horrifying. You never want to die choking on one of those Godzilla dildos. If you ever search for, you know, women who can do certain things with their vagina.
The one that can take a lot in there.
The monster. Have you seen those monster dildos? Huge.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doug Sackman, our friend, he used to develop those. And honestly, they seem very smooth for the pussy. I think that if you like it, if you like to be all filled up with it, that's a fun way to do it.
I guess. Please put the practice in before you go to game day on that one.
Here's another story that I really, really enjoy. This comes from all the way from Fun Old Hospice. Now, she sent a picture of these two wings. This is in the UK. It's a hospice in this old building where the west wing and the east wing, it's kind of like in a U, and they face each other. Two sets of windows face each other. My mom, Jay, is a head nurse at a hospice over here in the UK that deals with patients battling cancer and other terminal illnesses. Yes, it's very, very intense. Mm-hmm. She's an incredibly rational, sensible, and emotionally intelligent woman and doesn't have any particular belief in ghosts and the supernatural, which is exactly why this story shook me when I heard it for the first time. Now, each patient in this U-shaped hospital has a buzzer that they can ring if they need anything from the nurses.
Oh, my God. You imagine being a nurse.
Ring, 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 ring.
What do you need, ring. Samantha? What do you need?
I want the country to be different.
We're like, I know. We all do.
Where's the pillow?
I can't wait. That's how I'm going to go.
Death by nurse?
I hope so, because I'll just be like grabbing at her knees. This is later on deep in my dementia.
That's great.
Well, this woman from the West Wing started ringing, right? My mom was taking care of this. She was on buzzer duty, and she went over there. She arrived to answer the call. The woman asked the nurse, can you please ask the man in the hat to leave the room?
Ooh.
As he was bothering her by silently staring at her from the corner of the room. Yeah, sure, definitely. Very scary.
Oh, my God.
She described the man as a tall, dark figure wearing a black coat with big rimmed hat. A lot of times they are seen as a kind of square outline. And one guy in that documentary, the tall black hat, the tall black hat man or the black hat man, he said that the brim of the hat was as long as his shoulders. It was very exaggerated.
Okay, do we know for sure that she was not just watching Undertaker circa 1999?
Very interesting. One of the witnesses of the black hat man called him the Undertaker.
Cool.
Like from WWE. So
I've stumbled upon the truth once again.
You were close. Right? So the woman, she said, she described the man as a tall, dark figure wearing a black coat with a big rimmed hat. Naturally, my mom was a bit spooked by this, given that no one else was in the room with them, but she chalked it up to an hallucination from the pain relief medication that the patient was on. Mm. Its hallucinations were a somewhat common experience by patients on such medication. Damn. She calmed the woman down, I guess by giving her another fucking zap of it. Well, all of a sudden, she got a buzz from a patient on the opposite wing of the building, the wing that looked directly into the current wing that she was on. When she arrived at the opposite wing to ask how she could help the second patient, the woman calmly asked that if my mom, if she could close her curtains, as she was being bothered by a scary-looking man in a big rimmed hat that she could see walking up and down the halls in the opposite wing of the building.
Oh my God, sounds like Dr. Death is coming for an appointment.
Yeah, I honestly, it sounds like somebody trying to keep people off the beaches right now.
Yeah.
Right? The wing that my mom had just come from, right? The second patient described exactly the same man as the first did, but she was not in the same meds.
Okay.
So it's very, so that's another one.
There's something with older minds and younger minds that make, because they got more stuff going on either in the growth area or the decline area, that maybe they're more susceptible to seeing something like this?
I'm going to just go ahead and say, I have no clue. This is another story that fucking this also creeped me out. I went away to grad school, and when I moved back, my life took a shit. My mom, who had struggled with substance abuse and mental illness for years, was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and my whole family was caught in her downward spiral. It's so sad. I'm very sorry for that. That's fucked up.
And
right?
Anyone, you know, we get a lot of listeners, people who are sick. Our hearts are with you, and we wish you the best. And yes, indeed.
Good work, Kissel.
Yes, it's very hard out there.
This person had trouble with sleeping during these months. Horrible insomnia. When I did fall asleep, I'd wake up for about three hours later, desperately trying to open the bedroom window. I remember waking up and being overcome with fear at times. I would wake up in the hallway, staring into the bedroom, looking for whatever it was that had scared me awake. One night, I was visited by my old friend, Mr. Hat. Too tall, too thin, with a hat with a brim a little wider than a fedora, just standing over me and watching me like he always does. The next day, I was scheduled to work with this kid. He's 9 years old, who had significant autism, but was highly intelligent and well-spoken. His major issue was overwhelming anxiety that manifested in compulsive behaviors and emotional outbursts.
Well, he's got to go to Kmart. Got to get the undies.
Yeah, sounds like me.
Sure. The Duran Man lessons. Reference, by the way, for the anyone who's not exactly 38 years old.
Wapner. Got to watch the Wapner. Well, during our lesson, he seemed more distracted than usual. He kept chewing his fingers and shaking his head until I asked him what was wrong. And he said, do you ever have bad dreams?
Oh.
Sure I do, bud. Not thinking much about it. And he said, hey, did you have one last night? I paused, a little surprised, but eager to get back to the lesson in case my boss walked by. And I said, yeah, actually, you know what I did? I did kind of have a nightmare last night. And then looking me dead in the eye for the first time since I met him, he asked me, did he have the hat?
Oh my God, I'm scared.
No,
that is horrifying.
So these are just little examples. But one thing I wanted to look into, people say that this quite often happens with sleep paralysis. And I wanted to know why. Like, what is so scary about the syndrome of sleep paralysis? Because or is it a demon trying to kill you? I'm trying to make you feel a little bit better and say it's not always a demon trying to kill you.
I'm happy that none of these people experienced a what would appear to be an ejaculate facial. This person is just standing over their bed staring at them. He does not seem to be playing with a ghost dick, so that's good.
Well, yeah, it's not your uncle doing it to you, which I think is honestly, it's nicer than that. But one thing I kept finding when I was looking up was a thing that the brain goes into called hypervigilance. When you can wake up very suddenly, it's people that study from light sleeping or people say, so hypervigilance.
I feel like hypervigilant. That's what Nicolas Cage is in every movie. He is hypervigilant.
Hypervigilant and in his life.
Yes, he is.
It is an enhanced state of sensory sensitivity accompanied by exaggerated intensity of behaviors whose purpose is to detect activity. So they believe that what might happen is that you wake up from a dead sleep, in REM sleep, and your body is locked.
Right.
And your brain, they say a lot of times it's a symptom of PTSD and anxiety disorders. And this is why a lot of times in sleep paralysis is a lot of times identified with people who have depression or bipolar disorder.
Maybe coming back from the war.
Sure. Or the grocery store, right? I had problems with grocery stores when I was deep inside of my anxiety. So, but basically what happens is that your body, in hypervigilance, there's a perpetual scanning of the environment to search for sights, sounds, people, behavior, smells, or anything else that is reminiscent of activity, threat, or trauma. So you slide into this hyper-aware state because your body can't move, but your brain knows that you have now become online. You are now conscious, but your body can't move. So it knows, on sort of in a subconscious level, that you're highly vulnerable to any sort of attack. Your old-school reptile brain knows this.
Mm-hmm.
So what it begins to do is scan the environment for things that are threatening. And that maybe what it can do is, like, your eyeballs dilate. You start seeing more shapes in the darkness.
Right.
Maybe things are, like, in your room or qualities of light are different. And for some reason, it seems to coalesce in this black-hatted man symbol that has happened again and again and again. It seems to happen, and we don't know what's
interesting.
Does the black-hatted man come from a group understanding of the black-hatted man and a picturing of it already in your conscious waking mind that then you can apply to your sleeping mind, or is it something that is from our collected unconscious?
Right. Maybe your brain is trying to find or put the shapes together into something that you recognize, and who doesn't recognize?
But also
a sexy man in a black hat standing in the corner of their room.
I was reading Flying Saucers to the Center of the Mind by John Keel last night, and a part of what they were talking a little bit, it was about the
Do you think that's helping with your mental health?
No, absolutely not. I barely slept. I had a horrible sleep. Every single time I've been reading all UFO stuff before going to sleep, and I just haven't been able to sleep. It's terrible.
Yeah, maybe do the 3-hour rule. 3 hours before bed, you have to stop reading about UFOs, Henry.
And start watching my shows about murder.
No, then it's on the Log Cabin Living.
Commandos. Was that what that's called? Yeah, yeah. And I've been watching that floral arrangement show, which is really fun. We have all these, like, a man dresses Super Mario Brothers making dragons out of flowers. It's fun. It's creative. It's nice. It's something else.
Who are you trying to convince?
But maybe Black Hat Man comes from, like, the idea of, like, what they said, how we used to view aliens or things like aliens, Egregonians.
Oh.
Like, from gnomes to people, like we used to, with the great Zeppelin craze of the 1800s, which is true, Phantom Zeppelins, which was a thing that people used to see. And then what you do is the stuff that's common to you or common to either the pop culture of the time or what's going on, you ingest these things, and then your brain essentially uses those images to fulfill whatever that intelligence is that you're seeing.
Of course, and that the Zeppelin trend, of course, coincides perfectly with the Zeppeli trend of Coney Island, which led to the death of many people who ate that and then immediately went swimming, cramped up, and died.
Wow, you're blaming. I'm so mad. Have you ever had a Zeppelin?
Yeah, they're very good, but I don't think
That is a myth.
You can swim after you eat. That is a myth. But if you eat a bunch of dairy, that will mess you up. You will sink.
Well, you get shit. If you get a cramp, you can't swim. But yeah, I'm not trying to swim across the English Channel here.
Nothing.
I'm floating in my fucking 4 feet of chlorine.
Nothing more fun. Everyone says, oh, have a water birth. No. Take a dump in the ocean.
That is your version of a water birth.
Taking a dump in the ocean is the single greatest feeling in the history of time.
When did you do? Oh, yeah. Did you do that in Italy?
I've done that in every ocean I've ever been in. It's called feeding the fishies.
Ugh.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that update and for we're better understanding the Black Hat Man. Scary indeed. Side stories, LPOTL@gmail.com. If you're a psychiatrist, perhaps we'll do one more update on this. Otherwise, we could spend an entire series on him. And perhaps we will at some point in the future. But let us know, what do you think? Why do people see this image? Is it real? Or is it in the mind? Or is it both?
I absolutely, I love that kind of paranormal phenomena, but Coast to Coast has been covering this shit hardcore. So you can also look it up if you got a Coast to Coast subscription like I do. You can look it up there, which is a lot of fun.
Absolutely. All right.
I want to give a little bit of an update. That necrophilia suspect, the guy last week who was having sex with a corpse on the street, and they didn't know where the woman long dead.
Uh-huh.
Turns out that was a self-made corpse.
He put it together like the movie May, or was he a grave robber, or...
No, he murdered a woman.
He murdered a woman.
And then he carried her around like it was Linus's blanket.
Okay, hold on a second.
And made love to it.
So he murdered the woman. He did not make, first of all, that's not making love. That is, I don't even know what that's called.
You don't know whether or not he was petting her head or giving her little kisses.
I don't think that's what requires love to be in the situation. You could also do extreme bondage and it could be technically making love. But why would they then just charge him with having sex with a corpse? Why didn't they just be like, you killed her? Like, I don't understand how they didn't immediately assume that he had also killed her.
They've added homicide to his list of charges.
They added
it. Yeah. Necrophilia was how they got him, like how they got Al Capone with the tax evasion. So they got him because he was treating a corpse like it was a favored splooge blanket.
There you go, buddy. All right, we have another update as well. You may recall this story from last week. This fella, James Fairbanks, he killed a convicted sex offender. And we were kind of like, well, did the guy actually do it? What's the deal here? 13 years, this guy Fairbanks had to look at this man. Little indication that this dude, indeed, the man that was killed, was a true scumbag in every sense of the word. The victim, in this case, that is the man who also caused a lot of victim. He victimized a lot of people. But the man who was killed, his daughter supports Fairbanks. So yeah. His daughter supports James Fairbanks in killing her father because he was such a scumbag. This is according to Fairbanks' defense attorney, Steve Leffler. He says, our citizens usually hate someone accused of first-degree murder. That's what makes this an unusual case because he is getting an immense amount of support from the community. So the state calls this case it was a cold-blooded murder. Condolucci, that's the asshole who was the convicted pedophile, he was convicted and served time for sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl in Bellevue about a decade before.
Yes.
A couple days later, this news source received an anonymous letter confessing. Again, that was Fairbanks. But it seems as if the dude's daughter is taking the side of Fairbanks. It's probably going to help him get a lighter sentence. This is according to Brenda Beadle. She is the Douglas County Chief Deputy Attorney. She says, the evidence I know of, he was making efforts to change his life and do right. Ah, okay. More than 1,000 people have joined Facebook pages with the goal of freeing Fairbanks, saying things like, he's hurt so many people, it's only a matter of time before he did it again. He was still finding ways to have contact with children. I'm here for the Fairbanks family. The name of the man's daughter is Amanda Henry. This is what she had to say. She says, I've been through so much hurt and pain. There were many times I wanted to do it myself, but I didn't want to give up my freedom. So literally, the dude's daughter is like, I would have whacked him myself if I had the chance, but I didn't have the courage to give up my freedom like James Fairbanks. Maybe I'm being controversial here, but Fairbanks, you know, I'm going to say 5 years. Give him 5 years, 2.5 with good behavior. And that's, if I'm the judge, I'm putting the gavel down. That's what I'm giving him. His own daughter wanted him dead. And he was, as we learned in last week's episode, Fairbanks says this Condolucci, he wasn't staring at spaghetti. He was staring at children when Fairbanks said, I've had enough of this, sir, and took action into his own hands, which again is not right. But this is one of those areas where, oh my Lord, it's a cloudy day. This is a gray area.
He was vaguely right in this scenario. We had a couple of people send emails that are very interesting that work with pedophiles that are forced to be around them. And it's, again, say the same thing about the sex offender registry, about how it's a fucked system because it works. It works. But the problem is that the people that then have to, if you are like what we talked about from the conviction episode, if you are wrongly accused or you have to take a plea, you have to do all this kind of thing, like kind of bullshit in order to like essentially get out of jail and then you're put on that sex offender list, then you are one of those people too, even yes. though you're not, like, there's no room for like levels inside of the sex offender list.
Definitely needs to be. Going back to this story briefly, you know, usually Henry Zebrowski, you've been arrested because Ben Kissel said, poop yourself, and it was in public. You're going to prison. No one would like us in prison. They would immediately try to beat us up. We would have to defend ourselves. God knows what happens to Shank.
They
maybe a couple
like
years in solitary.
Guys.
But you know,
they don't like funny guys in prison. That's what Big Herc said.
I know. It's humor is different. Humor is like, oh my God, did you see the way I shanked that guy in the eye? That's pretty funny stuff. That's physical
that's scary.
Humor. But when Fairbanks walked into the medical unit at the jail, at least 10 inmates stood up and applauded him. Like he was like Mother
at
Teresa.
At least he'll be popular in jail.
He was. And this is according to Fairbanks' lawyer, Mr. Leffler. He says, well, he doesn't want to be in jail. It's obviously gratifying. That's incredibly rare. I've been doing this for 44 years and I've never seen anything like that before. So Fairbanks, I bet you he's getting free chips. He's getting free Hostess cupcakes.
He's still in jail.
Yes.
And so they could probably try to get him out of there with bail. I wonder what his bail will be set be. What his bail will be set for.
I'm not sure if they even offer bail for first degree murder, which is still the charge. I think you gotta give him 5, 2.5 with good.
There's gonna be some kind of plea. He's going to get a plea, and then we'll see where it guts from there. He's probably going to have to, like, say, I am guilty of some form of murder.
Of being a hero? I'm guilty of being a hero. Maybe I'm being controversial here, but
no, my grandfather was a hero, too. He killed so many Italians, you couldn't even get the ragu out of his fucking pants. Okay? This is back in the day.
It's not Condolucci. He was not killed because he was Italian. That was probably the best part of him, because at least he knew how to make a carb or two.
Exactly. The worst things most Italians are accused of are being a little too physically close to their mothers.
Yes, and but that's not actually, illegal. It's just weird, and please, God, stop putting it on Pornhub.
But hey, dude, we're pulling for you. So we'll see how this fucking goes. This is a story that's breaking, that's happening right now. There's a middle of a manhunt for a UConn student who's suspected in killings. He killed two people with a machete.
Jeez.
His name is Peter Manfredonia. He's 23 years old. And he's gone a little bit. He's gone haywire and he's gone missing. He was last seen in Pennsylvania. They believe they might have found footage of him in Maryland.
Okay.
There's like a picture of him that they said like, but apparently he was a normal guy.
Yes.
He was a bartender at the local spot where they were at. It seems that he got more and more agitated as time went on. He attacked an elderly couple with a machete.
Damn.
He was vaguely normal.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was looking at a picture of this guy. I mean, granted, he looks a little bit like Richard Spencer. It looks like he would go to It looks like he would go to a Ben Shapiro. You know, he would go listen to him speak and probably ask a few questions in like a conference room at his University of UConn.
Maybe it actually can be cool to be conservative. But he went and he wrote all over his walls. The thing that's became interesting is that it seems that this was premeditated and now he's kind of gone off the rails, so to speak. But he wrote all over inside of his walls, which kind of became like the reason why people are fascinated with him. Okay. Like he wrote in big letters, I'm not angry, I'm upset, which is a thing that my mom used to say all the time.
what does that mean? That's right before
it's
get backhanded.
It's worse than angry, that's for certain. It's almost as bad as disappointed.
Yeah, I wonder what he would have killed thousands if he was disappointed.
But he wrote on his walls now this he wrote the Sandy Hook Promise was one thing that he wrote. He is from the same block as Adam Lanza.
Oh my
God. He knew him growing up.
What does that mean, the Sandy Hook Promise? Is that
I don't know.
Is that a truther thing where it didn't happen in their minds or
no, it's the opposite. He is setting up his own personal killing spree. He wrote in red Sharpie on his walls, we saw what happened when Adam snapped. We saw what happened when Thanos snapped. Now they see what happens when I snap.
Okay, hold on one second. That second name you mentioned there, did you say Thanos?
Yes. He's talking about Josh Brolin.
So in his mind, Adam Lanza is just slightly akin to Thanos.
I think that he is being what you could call a bitch, where he has decided to throw his own little temper tantrum, and he thinks he's so emo that he's going to start killing people. Like, he wrote stuff like, "Is this bad? Will I get in trouble? Will they look at me strange?" He wrote "Welcome to Peter's World" on his walls. So it's kind of Berkowitz style, in terms of like, he's got like, technically, for like kind of a skinny kind of almost, I'm going to use the word Chad kind of guy. He's kind of got a lot of milk boy characteristics.
All right. And again, this guy's name is Peter Manfredonio. Manfredonia. It's Manfredonia. It does sound like it's a colony full of douchebags. The one thing that we do have to press again, he is still, as of our recording, on the loose. So just maybe put up like a Trump 2020 sign and see if you can't attract him. See if you can't like get him over. Just be like, "We're having a little rally. We're in support of the cops in Minneapolis. Want to come join us?" Like,
get a big sign that says "The truth about COVID." When he rolls up, get a net and fuck it and put it over his head.
But that really is, so obviously this guy, he's killed a few elderly people, which is enough. But he probably wants to still continue to kill. So this is kind of freaking scary, even though he's a total weenie.
Listen to this fucking crime spree. Wednesday afternoon, Pennsylvania State Police Trooper, this is from the ctpost.com. Pennsylvania State Police Trooper Anthony Petrowski said a new tip, he said they believe is in Hagerstown, Maryland, right? So that's the last thing, right? So what they said was that he took an Uber there.
Wait, what?
Yep.
He took an Uber?
Penn State Police said Manfredonia. He had an Uber driver take him to Hagerstown, Maryland. State Police said he had a black bag inside with him that had a guns he stole from a Wilmington's man home over the weekend during a home invasion. So he broke into a house.
Okay.
For the past 4 months, Ruiz said, Manfredonia has been renting a place at Renwood Apartments. It's a complex consisting of ranch-style buildings offering small 1 to 2 bedroom apartments that are each about 1,000 square feet, cost about $1,000 a month, which means there's one open now.
Why do I feel like the author of that article has a neighbor or a sister or a brother who's a realtor? She'd be like, "I also plugged I plugged the apartment complex. I think we're going to sell one."
Thanks.
Thank you. So my question, though, is when you get into an Uber, don't you have to have a destination? You can't just be like the corner.
Yeah, he took him to Maryland. He went from Pennsylvania to Maryland.
Yeah, but that's a state. Don't you have to have like a home or like a... You can't just say a random bus stop.
Oh, I used to do it all the time. Just pick a corner, pick a random-ass gas station, and just take him there. That's what you do. I've done it a lot of times.
It's not. I have never not taken an Uber to a house, to a job, to like a show. Like, usually there's a destination that's a little bit more broad than the sidewalk.
It's how it goes. So the search for Manfredonia, it began Friday morning after police say Manfredonia attacked two men with a type of machete in northeast Connecticut town of Wilmington. However, a source close to the investigation said Manfredonia was on his way to meet a former girlfriend when his motorcycle broke down.
Oh, cool.
Theodore Demirs offered Manfredonia a ride on his ATV. That's fucking dope. When police say that the 62-year-old man was attacked with an edged weapon.
Oh.
The second man came to the aid of Demirs, was critically injured. And then now he's unstable. So he murdered one. On Sunday, Wilmington man reported being held captive by Manfredonia, who stole his guns, food, supplies, and his truck during a home invasion. A few hours later, police recovered the stolen truck in Derby, sending off an extended search that led authorities to a Roosevelt Drive home about a mile away. Police said video surveillance showed Manfredonia walking directly toward Nicholas Eisel's home between 5 and 6 a.m. Sunday. Eisel graduated Newton High in 2015, and that they were in acquaintances together. And I believe Manfredonia had fled, kidnapped Eisel's girlfriend in her 2016 Volkswagen Jetta. And then he abandoned her and said she left her alone and grabbed another car and started driving.
And
he's just running scared.
And of course, Eisel was found dead in his home on Sunday. So Manfredonia is dangerous, despite how douchey he is, he is equally dangerous. Be very careful. I feel horrible for the 62-year-old victim. I feel horrible for the man who just tried to help. This guy is obviously dangerous. If you are in that area, we actually have a friend who is camping in that area right now, and she's like texting me, be like, "I got out of New York City to be safe, and now there is literally a killer on the loose." Like, it's some kind of horror movie. This dude is running out of options. I would assume, just given our experience in the true crime field, that the more desperate he gets, the more dangerous he will be. So be careful.
Hit him with your car.
Hit him with
if
your
you
car.
If you see him, hit him with your car.
And look at him, man. It's an interesting profile of America's youth.
It's just some kind of piece of shit.
Yeah, he looks like he enjoys some Crispy Boys every now and again, although I'm sure he doesn't because I don't think he had any friends, and I'm sure he blamed his lack of relationship abilities because on others as opposed to his own horrible personality.
No, he is one of those dudes who had friends and had a job. He's a bouncer at a local bar. He had a lot of friends.
I didn't have any friends because nobody likes the bouncer, Henry. You see, you've never had to be in a position of power like that where people immediately assume that you're the bad guy. And I just am asking for IDs here, NYU student, when I was working at Cabot on 2nd Avenue between 4th and 5th. I am not trying to be mean. I am trying to do my job, and I am trying to protect and serve. But then they were very mean to me.
I love bouncers.
No, you are a nice person.
I've always loved bouncers.
Well, you have to get in with the bouncer. But there's a lot of people who just assume, oh, they see you as authority. So I bet you Mr. Peter here, he got his feelings hurt. Then he got on a power trip. And then, boom, he's off to killing anyone who gives him a ride in an ATV. I've seen this story 1,000 times.
1,000 times. It's hard out there, man. Again, but that's what you got to be careful. Being a bouncer.
We will keep you updated on that story. I figure with the fact that we live in an extremely surveilled country that they should be able to find him.
They already got him on one camera, but guess what? Guess what he's wearing? A mask, just like all the rest of us. It's a little bit more difficult to find him, and he's just got fucking dude brown hair.
I thought you were going to say like a Michael Myers mask or something, in which case it would be easy.
Interesting.
Yeah, maybe a luchador mask. All right, well, speaking of matches, this is a lighthearted story that, you know, I just want to say it just because it's lighthearted. There's a bar in this place, and it's called Sputnik's Bar. It's in Colorado. And much like the Japanese baseball team who wanted to have a crowd, so they got a bunch of sex dolls to hold up signs and stuff, this bar, because everyone felt so lonely, put a bunch of fake ghosts around. And it's called Sputnik. So if that ever is open, go and hang out. This is according to the owner. He says it oddly feels nice to have, like, even though they're not real people, just kind of a presence in the bar. So that's just sort of nice.
And it's nice, as long as he didn't, like, name them all after, like, people who died in the Holocaust, and then it becomes just the saddest restaurant on the face of the planet.
Well, that's because Sputnik can only have 50% capacity right now. So that he's got the ghosts. I think they should just keep the ghosts, because we're all going to be there one day, and everyone that dies that was a regular at that bar, mummify the bodies, put the ghost sort of cloth over them, and then they can become real-life ghosts. I think that's a great idea.
Absolutely. And again, remember, if you're going to build ghosts, make sure that head is flat. Because if you got a big cone, on your thing, you have made a bunch of KKK members all just eating at your restaurant.
That is going to make it uncomfortable for everyone, except for one person, and then you're going to want that person to no longer come back to your bar.
You don't want
just the one dude be like, oh, finally we're able to talk about it. I've been hiding this my whole time.
They're celebrating history in a restaurant. there's another quick story I'm just going to say. This upside down cosmic ray shower, they're saying that there's evidence of a parallel universe. This is a very interesting story about these strange series of events that happened that we don't know what it means yet. This came out according to New Scientist magazine. They believe they found evidence of a potential for a parallel universe and high energy particles found in Antarctica. The researchers were perplexed by a fountain of high energy particles erupting from the ice in Antarctica at NASA's Antarctic Impulsive Transient Antenna, which is the ANITA.
Ooh.
The phenomenon detected is in pretty strong tension with the standard model of physics, University of Hawaii physics and astronomy professor Peter Gorham said without screaming.
Nerd. No, I'm just joking. You're very smart. I'm just joking around.
But you're saying they don't know what the hell this is, right? These high energy particles arrive from space, but it cannot pass through the solid mass of the Earth. Yet instead of detecting these particles coming from space or reflecting off the ice, ANITA has found them coming up from the ice. ANITA is a stratospheric balloon designed to detect cosmic ray showers through radio wave signals, right? as they bounce up or down off the ice. It turns an entire continent into a gigantic neutrino telescope. Anita has twice detected a fountain of high energy particles coming up from the Earth's surface in years past, with the first time occurring in 2016. The rays resemble an upside down cosmic ray shower. What we saw is something that looked like a cosmic ray, as seen in reflection off the ice sheet, but it wasn't reflected. As it was, it came out. All of this technically means nothing to me. What they're saying is that they think it means some fucking weird bullshit. It's like a window in a world where everything's backwards. Cool. What they're saying, it might be evidence of a quote unquote parallel universe, but they're still trying to work out whether or not the machine is broken. That is a thing that they're trying to figure out.
If you need more evidence that the world can be reversed, look no further than the great hip hop group Crisscross. In that world, they were just wearing their clothes appropriately. All right, my last true crime story of the day. Man, it's tough to be a mom out there, Henry.
Yeah, man, I know that.
You know that indeed.
You know how it is. My kids, my nipples have never been the same. I am sick of these. They're so fucking hungry, these kids. And they're not getting anything out of it.
Mr. Zabrowski, have you been breastfeeding the child and not your...
I'm allowed to. This is natural.
Yes, but you don't create...
You can only... Eat up, little Damien. Eat up. Nom, 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 nom. Nom, 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 nom. Although he's coughing on my hairs.
I have heard, and maybe this was just in a comedy movie somewhere, but I think that men can create milk under stress.
Nay, I think that they're full of shit. Yeah. Under stress? What, like I'm a fucking squid?
I don't know. That I think I heard that somewhere.
I don't know.
Patricia Ripley, 45 years old, not mother of the year. She drowned her kid Alejandro Ripley. He was 9 years old. He's nonverbal, autistic.
This is a horrible story.
The craziest thing about this story, she tried to drown him twice in the same day. She was at one canal, and a bunch of spectators were like, "Hey, don't drown your kid. What are you doing?"
So what are you doing?
What are you doing there? Prefer if you don't drown your child in front of me. So she said, "Oh, okay. Oh, he just fell." Went to another canal where she completed her mission, which was to drown her child. And Why? Then to make her even a worse person, she tried to convince everyone that he was abducted.
Yeah.
So obviously the father is absolutely devastated. That's Aldo Ripley. He says, "We love Alejandro and we got aggrieved with whatever they said about my wife. It's not real." So apparently the father is trying to defend the mother in this case. This is according to her lawyer. He said there is obviously a great deal of support for her. By all accounts, she's been an excellent mother, an excellent person, a great family, as you can see from the people around here.
She drowned her child.
Yes, and this is where it gets even more. I'm just going to say Karen, just because that's hip now, and I have to...
Oh, no, Karens. I don't even want to hear that. Karen is the most hack shit. Karens can go... Everybody can... Karens can go fuck. Tysons can go fuck.
What's a Tyson?
I don't know. Chicken.
I love it. So this is what she said. She said she was ambushed by two black men who demanded drugs and took her cell phone, tablet, and son. Because you know when you want drugs, there's nothing else you want more than also a kid. Like, you know when you want, like, to have a lot of fun and you're like, man, we could have so many good times if we just got a bunch of coke and a 9-year-old kid who happens to be autistic. Let's have a blast.
There's nothing a coke dealer loves more than a new child.
Absolutely. So the arrest affidavit says she provided very conflicting statements. Hence, she is now arrested, detained, and facing murder charges.
She tried to do the cable guy.
Son.
It's the same. I think that they were African American. It's unbelievable, man. It's just,
yes,
she's a fucking monster.
Yeah, she faces attempted and premeditated murder charges.
How is it attempted or premeditated? I thought that she killed the kid.
She did. Well, I guess it was premeditated murder.
Did she kill the kid or did the kid live? Is this the strongest child who's ever lived? They tried to drown this kid two times and he lived?
Henry, he was found floating in the canal on Friday.
Oh, God, so Lord, but on his back in a tube?
No, he was not. This isn't whatever that 1980s like arcade game. What, hot tubing? What was that called? Tubing?
Hot tubing.
Something like that. Anyway.
Oh, good fucking Lord.
Good grief. Anyhoot, this story, it's just, you know, you can't just be careful out there.
Yeah, I guess I won't follow that up with the serial pony rapist story I was going to do. We should move on to fucking hero of the week.
Honestly, by this standard, the pony perpetrator is lighthearted compared to this story.
Good Lord. They just, the way they found out.
We're just delivering the news.
The way they found out that he was doing is that they found all these fucking marks on the ankles of all the ponies because he tied up other legs. He could have sex with them. Yeah, great. What a fun story. I should sell this story to John Krasinski so he can sell it to CBS. I want John Krasinski to package my show, Good News Serial Pony Rapist, and we're going to make $1 million. Because this is what people like in quarantine. They like light-hearted fare. They want to smile. And what doesn't make them smile than the picture that they put of this haunted-eyed, seen-haired kid who looks like, he looks like if Peter Pan did heroin, and then they put a picture next to him of a pony screaming that looks like it might be just making it's hard to describe. It looks like it's a pony making a normal pony voice in one context, but in this context, it looks like somebody's having sex with it.
Oh my goodness. So this
Thanks, John Krasinski. Good news.
So you're charged with fornicating with a farm animal? What do you get him on with? Trespassing? Tax evasion? What's going on? Bestiality,
he made sex to a bunch of ponies. Or this other story where a 65-year-old man, he died from injuries from having sex with his 81-year-old male uncle. He asked his uncle, he told 65-year-old dude went to the hospital with, looked like he got the shit beat the fuck out of him, right?
Okay.
He told him he got mugged on a hiking trail. He died of his injuries. They go through his emails and all this kind of shit because I don't know why they did that. It turns out his 80-year-old uncle promised him he would beat him like a redheaded stepchild. And I guess that's how they had sex with each other. And that's how he died. Here you go, John Krasinski. More food for the seals.
Wow. Well.
There we go. Enjoy that one. I wonder if you can you pitch that show with Donald Glover and Dan Harmon to NBC?
Well, Mr. Glover can do no wrong. I think
he can
that,
do no
Donald
wrong.
Would do
I love
a great
Atlanta.
Job. All right. Well, per Henry's prompting, let's move on to Hero of the Week.
Hachi fucking Machi having sex with your uncle, man.
Having sex with a pony. Now you're making me have to break my brain into this.
I don't know if it is. I think having sex with your uncle is on the same level, especially when you're like, oh, uncle, I can't wait till you beat the fuck out of me this weekend. Because you're 65 years old.
Well, his uncle's 81.
On with the, man, and they vote.
Yeah, it's like, you know what the movie would be called? Spunkier Old Men.
Oh, I hope so. I tell you what, though, that's one less Biden voter. So we better grow another one. Remember that, everybody.
All right. Hero of the Week. Oh, my goodness. We're going to go to Minneapolis for this. We're talking about this dude who's got an ice cream truck, right? His name is Matt Peterson, but he ain't selling ice cream. He's just selling rock and roll and life lessons. So this dude, he drives around with his pseudo ice cream truck. He's got like the Spider-Man thing on the side. He's like, this is full of ice cream. We got all the candy. We got all the ice cream you possibly want. We got the dip codes, whatever the hell it is. He plays rock music super loud, specifically Lamb of God. So you know that. That's pretty heavy metal. And it turns out he don't got no ice cream on board. So
this shit is, I love this story so goddamn much.
So Peterson says he got the idea when he was younger. He tried to flag down a jangly old truck, and that truck just went off without him. He promised he would return with some tender, and when he got there, no can do. Wow. So that is what he does now to other children. His truck's name is Hell General, which is amazing, and the only thing that this truck dispenses is metal music and disappointment.
It's a black ice cream truck that has, they have ice cream, it has some pictures of ice cream on it, but he just plays music and then he stops, Right. He stops like he's an ice cream truck.
That's right. And he talks to kids and then he's like, yeah, you want some ice cream? I don't think it's going to happen. He's seen wonders, he says. He says,
pulls out. Dude, the mechanism is they show up for the ice cream. He's like, okay, kids, you want some ice cream? And they're like, yeah. Then he just fucking pulls away.
He says he's seen grown men who have tried to foist money into his hand while they were, well, Peterson drove at 25 miles an hour. He smiled and peeled off. He said fathers have asked him to explain to their four-year-old kids why they can't have a popsicle they wanted. Smiling, he just refuses. He says he's seen a 12-year-old watch him drive away, watching their mouths form the words, what the fuck? So it is, according to him, completely glorious. And I'm going to say this. Life lessons, they're hard to come by. You got to bruise your knees to make them strong enough to kneel on one day. I don't know what that means.
Suck the fucking government's cock? Or like, what do you mean?
I don't know.
But it is important for kids to understand.
Scar tissue, much kids, like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Scar tissue that you wish they saw.
You just have to understand. Sometimes you're not going to get exactly what you want, even though you showed up asking for it and you got the money.
Well, to be fair, he has never taken the money. And
no, of
all he
not.
Does is provide rock and roll. So the kids, what you got to do, if you're young, you circle the truck and you say, you want to play music? Now you're a DJ. And as soon as he realizes he has become a truck DJ in an ice cream contraption, he's going to be so sad that the 9-year-olds will win.
I just hope that, honestly, what I'd like him to do is start fucking selling some fucking weed up in that shit.
Oh, my God.
That'd be fun as hell.
I don't think it's legal yet in Minnesota. It's not legal. Anyway, legalize it.
Legalize it. Okay. Let me do a couple of listener emails.
All right.
Do we have a song for listener emails? Listener emails. You know, we don't like you. We hate you. Emails. I'm going to read two emails, and I'm going to read a thing that I was sent to read by one of our online contingents.
They're all online.
Yeah, I know. I know, man. I know. All right, this is cool.
All right.
I used to live in northeast China in the freezing cold tundra just south of Siberia. Oh. My neighbor was a super old Chinese widower who would tell me about all the fucked up things that had happened in that part of China.
You know what's sad, Henry? If you put a gun to my head, I would have thought that Siberia was in Russia. And wow. I would have said that with
close.
Such confidence.
They're all next to each other.
Are they?
Yeah.
Because I just felt extremely stupid.
It's obvious. No, we are still stupid, but it is vaguely close.
Okay.
It is vaguely close. But this neighbor lived through all of this shit. Slave trade, to and from North Korea, all this fucked up shit. The neighbor would also tell me to avoid the construction park next to the river because that is where what they called hungry ghosts were.
Mm.
This is a Buddhist concept for a person condemned to starve for all time in hell. This part of town is where the government buried those executed for cannibalism during the Great Leap Forward. Which is very interesting. I got to look into the Great Leap Forward.
So they weren't arrested for the murder. They were arrested for eating the food that they killed.
Yes, which is kind of what we saw in Russia right before Chikatilo's crime spree,
right,
where the food was running around and they're eating each other.
Oof.
I would actually walk through this area of town all the time because it was pretty empty and a quick way back to my apartment from an expat bar that I liked.
Nice.
On St. Patty's, I was coming home pretty drunk and rested on a huge spool of wire they were using in the construction there. As I was sitting there, I saw someone running down the path towards me. And thinking it was a security guard, I jumped down to apologize and leave. But as I got down, I saw that the figure was running super weirdly.
Huh.
Arms pinned directly to their sides with only the feet moving. As it got closer, I saw that it was a man with a hat and his mouth was open extremely wide. The center of the mouth was just a black pit.
Damn.
I fucking
booked it. All right.
I ran without looking back and hailed the first cab I could find back to my block. The next day, I asked my neighbor about it and he said the cannibals were usually tied up before being shot, which is why he was running so weirdly.
So you got this dude running like Orange Cassidy. That's a wrestler who keeps his hands in his pockets like Ryan Gosling in the movie Drive. And then his mouth, we've heard, that is so common, this wide mouth, like the dark hole in the mouth.
It's very scary.
Yeah, it's very scary.
It's very scary, but I just thought that was very, very fun.
Yeah.
Here's another quick story. I was about 11 at the time. My room was being repainted, so I had to crash in my brother's for a couple of nights. Our rooms were linked by a small bathroom hallway. You could look straight through from one to the other if the doors were open.
I hate that.
I was lying in a sleeping bag on the floor of my brother's room when I suddenly awoke in the middle of the night. The reason was obvious. I felt like my bladder was about to explode. I had to pee. But all of a sudden, I couldn't quite explain it. It was this feeling of dread, right? Like I was being watched. I was afraid to move. I lay there on the floor staring at the bathroom hallway. staring through the bathroom hallway. All the doors were open, so I could see straight through to my own room. As I passively observed my distant bed, I began to get angry at myself. What the hell's wrong with me? I don't have reason to be afraid.
Right.
And I was torturing myself. I was like, I was going to fucking piss myself really quick. A light blue glow began to creep across the far wall of my bedroom. Creeping upward in slow pulses, soon, my entire room was filled with the blue light, as if a car brights were just blaring through the window. Except we were on the second floor and the light was far too intense for the source to be anything other than inside the house. It kind of a surge of energy receded to a focal point. Then I saw it. A white orb about the size of a softball lazily floated past the door frame connecting to my room to the bathroom hallway. It continued its trajectory across the door frame until it was out of view. I watched the blue glow slowly fade from my room as it entered the adjacent hallway. I just love this shit. They just say this. They just sat there for hours, is what he said. He wouldn't leave. I love orbs. Sorry, I read that.
No, absolutely. I love that as well. The biggest horror there is the shared bathroom. I have never understood what
Jack
house
and Jill.
Designer is just like, this should be a shared space.
It's
this
for
will
kids.
Be like the what's that?
It's generally for kids.
It's still bad because you're taking a dump. Next thing you know, your brother walks in because you forgot to lock both doors. You got no privacy whatsoever.
You fucking piggy boy, nice big fucking jump. And you're like, I'm trying to dump.
Yeah, he throws a bunch of water on you. You know how horrible children are. I mean, my God.
Yeah, they're the worst. They're spreading the coronavirus.
Well, that ain't
purple toes. Now, this is a story I want to read. This is what I've heard is called copy pasta that was requested to me to read by the Reddit group. They sent it through Side Stories LPOTL.
Okay.
They wanted me to read it, and I figured that it was fun as hell. This is a response. This is like an old storied response from old school internet archives.
Fuck!
So here we go. Navy SEALs copy pasta. What the fuck did you just fucking say about me, you little bitch?
Oh.
I'll have you know I graduated top of my class in the Navy SEALs, and I've been involved in numerous secret raids on Al-Qaeda, and I have over 300 confirmed kills. I am trained in guerrilla warfare, and I am the top sniper in the entire U.S. Armed Forces.
Whoa.
You are nothing to me but just another target. I will wipe you the fuck out with precision the likes of which has never been seen before on this earth. Mark my fucking words. You think you can get away with saying that shit to me over the internet? Think again, fucker. As we speak, I am contacting my secret network of spies across the USA, and your IP is being traced right now, so you better prepare for the storm, maggot. The storm that wipes out the pathetic little thing you call your life. You're fucking dead, kid.
Whoa.
I can be anywhere, anytime, and I can kill you in over 700 ways.
That's a lot.
And that's just with my bare hands. Not only am I extensively trained in unarmed combat, but I have access to the entire arsenal of the United States Marine Corps, and I will use it. And I will use it to its full extent to wipe your miserable ass off the face of the continent, you little shit.
Wow.
If only you could have known what unholy retribution your little clever comment was about to bring down upon you, maybe you would have held your fucking tongue.
Huh.
But you couldn't. You didn't. And now you're paying the price, you goddamn idiot. I will shit fury all over you.
Oh, my.
And you will drown in it. You're fucking dead, kiddo.
You're gonna drown in shit, huh?
Drown my shit.
Well, how about
I fall out?
But so how are you gonna do it? Are you gonna shoot me or drown me in human shit?
700 different ways with my bare hands.
Dean Malenko, man of 700 moves. Look at that.
I do feel like that's kind of the genuine way to read it. And I feel like there's other ways you can be like, what the fuck did you say about me, the bitch? I graduated the top of my class in the Navy SEALs, and I've been involved in numerous secret raids on Al-Qaeda, and I have over 300 confirmed kills. I am trained in guerrilla warfare, and I'm the top sniper in the U.S. Armed Forces. They told me I was.
Well, I believe it, my man. Definitely best to be a sniper when you can't physically run.
That's the best part of it. Yeah, sniper just sits.
Just sit. I mean, honestly, my grandfather, my father, who's the American who fought in the Forgotten War, Korean War, he hated snipers. He thought they were the weakest of all people because they didn't do face-to-face combat. And I believe that was the sentiment for many, many years amongst many military people.
I wouldn't fucking know. What's wrong with you?
No, that's what I've been told.
We're talking shit about fucking snipers?
No, I'm not talking shit about
all of your family.
No, my first of all, my father, my grandfather died of asbestos. And you're going to talk about him that way?
He died in the most cowardly way possible. His lungs gave up.
No, his
he, were they French?
Nah. He did forgive my grandmother on his deathbed for trying to kill him so many times, though. So he's a nice guy. He's a good guy.
This is fun, man. Oh, I love to perform.
Definitely.
Well, guys, remember, coronavirus, gotta live.
Yep.
L-I-V-E. You know what E stands for in live?
What?
E! That's it. Love. Love your body today. Spend extra time
in
masturbating
private.
Today.
In private.
That's what I'm saying. Spend extra time. Give yourself that extra little show.
Yes.
Make it that go. Make yourself scream today. Love touching yourself. Especially if you're sick of everyone that is in your home.
Sure. Again, in private, if you have to go to the bathroom, another reason not to have the adjoined bathroom when you need to plug one out.
And sometimes you need to sit, you got to read the news, and you just got to laugh.
Yeah.
He's got to laugh, you know, and he sometimes really helps you laugh. Four fingers of McKellen 12 sometimes really does help me laugh. Puts a little crooked smile in there. You know what I mean? It's like a fun little fit. The confidence of a senator.
I always love it when my mouth is exactly like a burning log of fire.
Yep. I like it when it tastes like it's burning.
Yeah. Woo. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're doing all right out there. Staying strong, staying tough. Okay. Also, side stories, LPOTL at gmail.com. Just email us. Hail
yes.
yourselves.
We got a couple of these. I got lastpodcastmerch.com. Yes. Got to check it out. Go buy all the new bullshit. We got new sizes. It's getting better. You're gonna get fucking steamier. We're getting fucking so much. We're gonna have so many blistering different merch sales.
Can't
you're gonna
wait.
Scream! Get the last spot. Get the last book on the left. We worked on that for 2 years. And then what I'd like for you to do is if you are home,
you were really channeling your inner local yokel from Deliverance today.
Yes,
squeal, squeal,
squeal. Next Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Watch Classy Night In on Twitch stream. We're going to start doing it again at the LPN Twitch show. It's going to be next week. Come check it out. Can't wait to see you.
Absolutely.
There.
See if Eddie can fit in that screen. He can. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Of course, once again, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustulations, everyone.
Hail me.
Yep, there it is. Just in time for the poop.
Yep.
Perfect.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.